I know the IOC is a cash cow and there's a lot at stake here, but there's absolutely no way they can hold the Tokyo Games this summer, is there?
That's a good question, Scott and Mike. Great to be with you guys. As you probably know, I've covered every Olympics since 1984 in Los Angeles. So 18 in a row, winter and summer. And, there have been concerns before, dire concerns, we thought. Think about Athens in 2004, which did go on. That was the first Summer Olympics after 9/11. The first Winter Olympics after 9/11 was Salt Lake City. And, of course, that was, a different thing, a landlocked city. And a Winter Games is much different clientele than a summer, summer games. So Athens did go on, very few spectators. And I think that's certainly one option moving forward is a spectatorless Olympics. Of course, we were hearing spectatorless this and that last week until everything got canceled. I think the International Olympic Committee does have a little more time. Dick Pound, of all people, Canada's esteemed and venerable IOC member, almost a month ago now, said that really you could push it to late May before making the decision. I don't think that's the case anymore because of the athletes and the lack of training facilities. I spoke with Lily King, the two-time Olympic swimming gold medalist for the United States yesterday, and she's at Indiana University where she graduated from last year, and they were at the Indiana University pool. That's closed, of course, because Indiana's closed. Then they were at the YMCA. That closed. Can you imagine Olympic gold medalists swimming at the YMCA? Nothing against the YMCA, of course, and now they're trying to find country clubs. The U.S. Olympic Training Center right now is closed. I think people who are there can maybe still use it, but they know other people can come in. Anyway, that's a mess. And my guess is that is going to start to lead the conversation now. The athletes, what they're going through, some people have even wondered why are they able to compete or try to train in these conditions. Are they endangering themselves if they're in a swimming pool, et cetera, et cetera? So it's a mess. We all know it's a mess. Everyone who's listening is living this in their own way. But these athletes are certainly a piece of the story. And my guess now would be the games might be postponed, but I don't know that we're going to see that, at least in the near future, although I think things are escalating much faster than I even would have thought, of course, a few days ago.
Would it be that hard to postpone them till next year? I've heard a couple of different people discuss this and say that's almost impossible to do. Well, why not just, I understand there's going to be economic fallout. There, obviously, the advertising dollars that are coming in for the Olympics and all the money spent, all these countries, how hard would that kind of be?
Well, it would be unprecedented, and it would be strange. And we know the International Olympic Committee, we know the television networks, we know the sponsors would like to have it this summer. Obviously, the window for the TV networks, of course, the summer is perfect because we push it into the fall, and you're competing against men's soccer worldwide, of course, U.S. football. Of course, now with what's happening, the fall, presuming everything gets back to normal a little bit, which I guess we still don't even know how this is going to work as we're just at the beginning of it in North America, the fall is going to be, the autumn is going to be the busiest sports season we've ever seen, ever, right? With everything now being pushed to the fall. Baseball, I guess, is going to maybe try to start in July. Let's see. Is that really going to happen? Is it going to be August? Is it going to be September? Will baseball happen? I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I don't know. And as the dominoes kept falling last week, we saw that whatever we thought was normal wasn't normal, and we knew that anything that we something we thought was a sure thing was not. So I think these are extraordinary times. We've never seen anything like this. So it goes without saying. You don't need me to say that. But clearly, from a sports journalist perspective, these are extraordinary times. From a human perspective, we've never seen anything quite like this. So what would have been unthinkable even a day or two ago, that the 2020 Olympics would occur in 2021, I don't think that's so unusual now. I know this, that they don't want to lose the games completely. A cancellation is is almost unthinkable for everyone. Certainly the financial aspect, which is enormous, billions of dollars, but also there is, shockingly, the thought of the athletes. And going back to 1980 and the Olympic boycott by the United States of the Moscow Games, that changed people's lives forever. Taking away the opportunity, it was something that is, it lives on in so many of those people, those athletes and those officials. Jimmy Carter, as the president, never really got over it. And I think most of those athletes didn't. And so the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, I know Canadian officials, Canadian Olympic Committee, all around the world, the last thing they want is to actually cancel the games and just not have them ever.
Christine Brennan of USA Today is our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I mean, Christine, you will know this. We have plenty of access to American media. Cable news networks are readily available on our regular cable packages up here, et cetera, et cetera. So we have a sense of what is going on in your country. But if you could further peel back the curtain for us, what is your opinion on the degree of seriousness with which this virus is now being taken in your neck of the woods? Have people come around to the true gravity of this, considering that the occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue was calling it a hoax merely weeks ago?
Well, you said it, and I'm about 4 miles from that occupant and talking to you right now in Northwest Washington, D.C., and it's a beautiful day, and I plan to certainly be out a little bit. Social distancing, not going to any offices, might pick up a couple things, I've got to pick up laundry, dry cleaning, and those places are still open, so I'll stop in to all those places. But my life has changed. That said, I also work for CNN, and last Thursday and Friday, I might as well have had a sleeping bag at CNN because I was there so much. And I was there at 5:30 in the morning. I was there at 5:30 at night. I was whatever. And I would say happily so if it weren't such a terrible story. But in terms of the journalistic aspect of it, then I was certainly pleased to be able to do my job and with USA Today and CNN. But then the makeup people are touching you, and we've all talked about that. And I have not been back to CNN since, just because the sports news has kind of calmed down. We've got a status quo right now, and of course the political news and the national, cultural, worldwide news has picked up. But yes, there is no doubt that whatever was going on with President Trump and the lies that have been told there at the White House, and even, I think, more important, the dismantling of the trust in the news media that has happened over 3.5 years in this country, to me, has always been abhorrent. But now it's as if the chickens have come home to roost. And I've been reading studies, I'm sure you have too, and reading stories about how there's a great gap between Democrats and Republicans in terms of whether they're taking this seriously. It's mind-boggling to me that people who are intelligent or semi-intelligent would be so unwilling to accept something of this magnitude. But that's where we are in this country, and it's appalling. And I grew up as a Republican in Toledo, Ohio. My dad was George H.W. Bush's vice chair during the 88 campaign. I am not a left-wing liberal by any means. The Republican Party, as we knew it, does not exist. And my dad, who we cremated, it's probably a good thing we did, because if he were in a casket, he would have spun all the way to China, probably, as a good, solid American first, as a business Republican, liberal Republican second. And that's what our whole family was. And, of course, now, needless to say, I don't recognize whatever this is that Donald Trump is leading. And it's just stunning. And the fact that now it actually has life and death consequences is sad, and it's just tragic. And I didn't mean to even make a political statement here, but I'm an American, and you asked, and so I'm happy to answer.
With Christine Brennan of USA Today, the follow-up to that, Christine, for me would be, those who wished to be in denial about this, or those who revel in this notion that there's a deep state and everything is a liberal hoax in this day and age, if you take their sports away from them, I mean, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, et cetera, aren't just shutting down for the hell of it. Surely to God, their sports being taken away from them would wake them the hell up to this truth.
You would think. I wrote a column last week, it was Thursday, that to me, the watershed moment of this whole thing, and I really do believe this, and I'm speaking in sports and cultural terms, but it really may be the whole shebang, was that moment around 9:30, 9:45 Wednesday evening, when people looked at their phones, looked at their laptops, heard from someone, saw it on TV, that the NBA was suspending operations. To me, that was the shocker of all shockers. That's the one that got your attention, to your point, and where you said, oh my gosh, this is a very big deal. The NBA is suspending play, and everyone's going home. Wow. And I that did it for me. I was actually out with friends, and we all looked at our phones, and I realized at that point I better get home because I needed to start doing CNN work and, of course, USA Today as well. And so that was it. Now, I guess I don't understand some of my fellow Americans, and I do their neighbors and friends, and I just don't understand the mindset. I think all of us probably, whenever we first heard of this, thought, oh, it's just the flu, right? And I'm talking originally. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about you heard about this in China and it was bad. And, you know, I think our first positive, we're optimistic people, right? So our first inclination might be, okay, you know, is this coming? Yeah, that's bad in China. I wasn't in China. No one I know has been in China. You know, that kind of thing. I think there's an optimism combined with probably some arrogance and also a lack of intelligence that put us in that place. And certainly all of us were not worried about this 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, right? So there's that. I mean, I think probably we should have been doing things 2 or 3 weeks ago that we weren't doing. The difference is the three of us chatting right now and those of us who are listening, oh, you're wonderful listeners. Well, we're not charged with making those decisions, right? We're not the leaders. And the fact that the leadership of this country was so blind to the facts, it's in keeping with what's been happening over the last 3.5 years. But I said, that's why I said a few minutes ago, the chickens have come home to roost, because now it matters and now we're seeing it for what it is. And I know the journalists will keep my political colleagues and friends, the journalists that cover that end of it, will stay on this and will continue to show how stunning the reversal, if there has been a reversal from the president, but at least how stunning that his mood has been or his tone has been, as the notion of millions of deaths probably crossed his desk enough that he finally started to pay attention. But yes, the leaders did not lead, and that's what we're going to ask, going full circle back to the IOC. Leaders need to lead, but obviously in a much bigger way. Political leaders around the world have had different reactions, and we've seen the different reactions. And we in the United States, that 2016 election, again, we are dealing with that every single minute of our lives.